Good afternoon. And I'd like to thank Professor Krieger for inviting me to participate in this panel discussion. I've been asked to start by taking you back in time. Colonial data show high stillbirth, infant, and maternal death rates in Jamaica. However, once the slave trade was abolished in 1807 and no replacement stock available, the economic value of health care was urgently appreciated. Surgeons were employed to sugar estates, and they set up estate lining houses and trained traditional birth attendants. Pregnant and postpartum slaves got lighter duties, maternity leave, and nursing breaks when they got back to work. This all fell apart, however, when emancipation occurred in 1838, as doctors followed freedmen off the plantations because their wages were tied to the size of the estate labor force. The colonial government responded by setting up the island medical services, and the first registrar general's report noted a maternal mortality ratio of 661 per 100,000. He suggested that maternal deaths could be reduced if midwives were trained to attend to poor women at home. Dr. Grabham championed the idea, and in 1887, the Victoria Jubilee Hospital and Midwifery School opened with 8 pupil midwives. The deployment of these midwives into the community and the addition of locally trained doctors in the 1950s contributed to a steady decline in maternal deaths up to independence in 1962. While vital data, however, were good at documenting population growth, it didn't provide accurate maternal mortality information, and in 1998, an independent surveillance system was put in place. Now, women in the Americas have been going through what I call the fertility transition. Better health care means fewer births are needed to achieve their desired family size. Their pursuit of tertiary education, however, delays motherhood, and a career is hard to combine with childbearing. The family's new standard of living, however, requires her income, but opportunities vary by social status. Family planning as a strategy to reduce maternal deaths only works to a point. Below a general fertility rate of 100 per 1,000 women, Jamaica's maternal mortality rate stagnated as fertility was now falling faster than mortality. Older mothers experience higher maternal mortality rates, often from indirect and direct cardiovascular complications, usually associated with obesity. By their mid-20s, over 60% of Jamaican women are overweight or obese. Of the 2014 maternal deaths, overweight and obese women died from one of five predictable conditions: heart disease, hypertension, embolism, anesthetic complications, or diabetes. Many, however, were working class women whose social conditions, including their poor diets, contributed to their deaths. Average maternal mortality ratios across the region hide a great deal of inequity. Poverty is correlated with maternal survival, with high fertility and mortality among the economically vulnerable. Families in low and middle income countries rely on remittances from the U.S. in particular for survival. However, with only 7 regional countries classified as low or lower middle income by the World Bank and eligible for development grants, governments must borrow to build roads, health centers, and hospitals. Regional epidemiologists, however, can help to improve these outcomes, and today is a first great step in this direction. Our common history means our women share similar risks. As you can see, there isn't much difference between what causes maternal deaths in Jamaica and Brazil. And we can work more efficiently together to solve these problems. Communities addressing 21st century reproductive health challenges can shorten our collective journeys. Lessons in protecting the rights of vulnerable persons can enable mutual growth. I've focused on reproductive health, but these threads can weave through environmental protection, violence prevention, and health system financing. Today's women are dying because they want children or can't afford them, because they're poor or they're well-educated, have bad diets or sedentary jobs, live in substandard homes, have limited access to appropriate health care, which is juxtaposed against overcrowded and inadequately resourced facilities, which frustrate staff and lead to miscommunication that affect persons' willingness to return for care even when gravely ill. Economic growth has burdened governments with high debt, limiting what is available to improve health care, let alone to do the research needed to inform our health interventions. Some problems, however, can respond to simple solutions, like an educational tool which empowers women to understand their health problems and seek timely care. But health professionals must climb this hill to understand why a sick mother who has faced these rocks to come to hospital cannot accept a message, "I can't see you today." Maternal health is not just obstetrics, but how men and women negotiate their sexual desires, that society respects women, even the most humble. Care must be guided by evidence, but we must adapt our services and retrain the health team to respond to the changing needs of our target groups. I close by taking you back to where I started, that we need to promote health, not just as a human right, but as economic good sense. Thank you.